and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for Life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning. Welcome to the first Saturday edition of Racing Across America in 2021. It's a nice day up here at Saratoga. A little overcast. Temperatures are a little more comfortable than they've been the last couple of days as the humidity has gone down a little bit. Horses, as you've seen, have been working out behind us and enjoying the weather and whatnot. Fun show today. Towards the end of the show, we'll be joined by Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association. Just kind of set us up a little bit on the meet ahead. Brendan Walsh, a little love before that. He's got a couple of runners in stakes action here at Saratoga this afternoon. And, of course, we'll talk a little bit about the big boy as well, Maxfield. All of that coming up in a few. But we'll kick things off with Wesley Ward jumping in. And he's got some runners this afternoon and more we'll talk about. Wes, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
I appreciate your stopping by because I know Saratoga is a busy time of year. And one of the things I want to start right out with, because we were talking before we went on the air, and I asked if you ever work out horses back here, and you said you had. And I'll ask because it seems like when I ask trainers and they say yes, Clear Court is a little bit of a different atmosphere where it's a kind of a mental thing for the horses just to go out and kind of stretch their legs a little bit and get a refresher, it seems like.
Yeah, I think it's not as much pressure on them and mentally, you know, because they know when they go over the other, you know, over here to the main track that's where they're going to race and work. And here it's kind of like a little bit of a jog in the park. We just had, with just a pony, we had Happy Soul that scratched on opening day. We just walked her around one lap around just so she could kind of get out moving and with no rider on, just with the pony and just kind of get the blood pumping a little bit. And she really seemed to enjoy it.
What's the game plan for her?
You know, we're taking it day by day. This is the first time she came out other than just walking around the outside barn there from scratching on opening day. So we're going to keep monitoring every day. We take a blood. As soon as the blood's perfect, then we'll kind of move forward slowly and just keep watching her. And it could be the Adirondack, but she's going to tell us what to do with the veterinarians.
Very good. Before we get into some of the horse action and whatnot, I want to go back because I remember, but I think a lot of people in our audience maybe know Wesley Ward as a trainer that they see in the past performances quite a bit, but remember your jockey career for us a little bit. As I say, I remember, I wrote it down, 1984, the Eclipse Apprentice Jockey, meet titles at Belmont Aqueduct Meadowlands that then went to ride overseas as well. Talk a little bit about and remember your jockey career a little bit.
Those are great times, you know. Time of my life. I was 16 years old here, and I actually made the lead here going into the last week of the meet.
And I got the 24 days, it must have been.
Yeah, and I got a suspension, a riding seven-day suspension, whatever it was, and couldn't ride the last week, but it was great fun.
What was it like to be up here and to be in that position, to be a kid of that age? That has to be like you're a rock star all of a sudden.
You know, it was a dream come true. You know, I was a kid in Washington from Washington State, and I was riding the county fairs when I was 13 and 14 and 15 years old, and had aspirations of coming back here. And when I did, it all kind of came together, and we got on a roll, and it was a fun ride.
Yeah, as I say, I remember those days. And how did you get into the game?
I'm from a real small town, Yakima, Washington. They got a small track there, a little circuit up in Washington State. And my father was a trainer, and you know, I didn't have any choice.
It's worked out very well. And just reflect a little bit also, I'm curious, you spent some time overseas as a jockey. Was that a kind of get a little extra time with a weight thing?
Yeah, it actually, you know, I the weights were a little heavier then, yeah. You know, and as you can see, there's two jockeys in me now. So, you know, I knew going into it that when I was 16, I was just a little boy. I weighed 100 pounds, you know, and then as I grew taller, it was tough to maintain the weight. And the last few years were a big, big struggle.
Yeah, you weren't alone, obviously, because I was, and I was reminded of that. I was looking up some info on you last night, and you had trained a horse within the last year or so for Steve Kaufman, and you said, oh, you know, I was looking up to him early in my career, and of course, he went over and had that end of the career over in Europe as well.
Yeah, he's my idol, a great guy today. You know, I still train a horse for him, Palace Avenger. We had a winner here last year. It was great to have Steve and have a winner for him. He's a great guy.
Yeah, very good. All right, now let's get on to the training side of things, and let's go back to opening day, because as I say, again, I was looking up some information on you last night, and I saw before the win on opening day in the quick call, you were talking about Golden Pal, and it seems you are very high on this one, and understandably so. What we have seen so far, the win in the Skidmore up here last year as a two-year-old, the win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint last year to end the season, and this was the comebacker on opening day. Golden Pal is going to be the number three horse. Talk a little bit about the performance the other day, and again, just your thoughts on this horse overall.
He's just an immensely talented horse, as I've said on several interviews. He's, you know, you're not going to have very many of these types that you're going to train. I don't care who you are in a training career. He just has that natural quickness and ability. He essentially did this race off of three works, is all. The other two were just kind of gallops. And he's just, I really look forward to him. He came out of the race fantastic. We got really very, very fortunate that we had that bit of rain up here to where there was a little bit of give in the course, and it's always, they always come out of the race as good as they go into it when that's the, when they have the course like that. So he's got a big, big future. I'm looking forward to taking him back to Europe. There's a couple of races pending on you know, how we get
this summer.
He's going to go to either York, which is in northern England.
Yeah,
race that I've been second in twice, once with Lady Aurelia and once with a two-year-old Acapulco. That race is for two-year-olds and up, so the two-year-olds get in with 112 pounds. That's why I had to fly IRAD over there, because the jocks over there are a little heavy. And he'll carry 130 and change, I think, in the race, because he's three. But it's either that race or there's a race in Ireland, one of the two, depending on how he is and how he looks in his workouts. And then we're going to hopefully finish up in the Breeders' Cup. But he's so talented, this horse. He's such a really neat horse to be around, too, his demeanor. He's like he'd be like a college going into the pros, can't wait to get into the pros quarterback, where he's just, you know, can't wait to put him in the game. He's that kind of horse. He's always up at the front of the stall, and he's got, his eyes are always bright, and as soon as he comes out, he's really, really focused. Really, really cool horse.
That again from the other day, Golden Pal, and for folks who aren't familiar, certainly bred to be a good one. Uncle Mo on top and Lady Shipman, and I'm just curious with that kind of breeding, and I'm guessing Lady Shipman, folks up here maybe remember, you know, remember her, but I'm guessing with that breeding, he was kind of touting himself right from the beginning.
Yeah. Ben McElroy, bloodstock agent, brought me over to see him as we were going through the horses that he thought would be horses for me, and I just fell in love with the horse, you know, and it just so happened to be the breeder was there watching me, you know, several times going over and seeing him and bringing some potential clients over to look at him. And so, unfortunately, the deal didn't go through. And but as it ended up, he gave me the horse to train. So that was great.
Yeah, very good, very good. All right, so again, that was the other day, but let's take a look at some action from this afternoon, some action we'll be looking forward to this afternoon. We're going to look at Headline Report. You've got that one in the Sanford. Grade 3 event, 150,000 up for grabs. They're going 6 furlongs to kick off the two-year-old stakes season up here. I pulled up the debut effort from Headline Report. He'll be the number three in here. John Velasquez on board that day down at Keeneland. He'll be back on board again today. This is a salty edition of the Sanford, but what are your thoughts this afternoon for Headline Report coming out of this nice debut effort?
You know, I put him in this race, and I didn't have him very long. I just kind of went off. He came out of the two-year-old sales and had a very, very fast workout. Eddie Woods, you know, as most of those consigners do, they put a lot of effort and speed. And I just took him to the gate a few times and ran him based on the horses he ran against that day aren't nearly, you know, the talent he's going to face this afternoon. So I want, and he's so talented that he overcame not, you know, having been prepared. But I think he got a really, really good experience, and everything I wanted to happen did, to where he won, and he got a good experience with Johnny on him. And now we've had a good string of workouts at his home track in Keeneland, and he's ready for this race. We drew a great post. We're outside there, and it would have been tough if we drew inside. I look for him to break a little bit more sharper than he did in the first time. Maybe still just a little bit could be better from the gate, but he should be, being outside like that, he should be able to get himself in good position. And then we'll see what we have. You know, it's a question of if he's, you know, as talented as the other horses in there.
Well, after that win, was this your game plan coming right out of that?
That was our plan from the onset prior to that race.
Yeah, very good. And that was a 4.5 furlong race. Today, 6 furlongs. And again, he looked pretty good getting it done there, obviously. And so that's today's Sanford. Let's also move on, because you have a couple in tomorrow as well in the Coronation Cup, and we'll take a look at each of those separately. And let's start out with Wink. The Coronation Cup tomorrow, scheduled on the grass. We'll keep our fingers crossed as far as weather and whatnot. But first up, we'll take a look at Wink. We're going to go back to Gulfstream Park on March 20th. Wink is going to be the winner here, the number 4. Subsequently, tossed in a 9th place finish in the Mamzelle. So talk a little bit about the win we're going to look at, but then the follow-up in the Mamzelle, and were there excuses in there?
Well, number one, Javier knows her very well. He's won a couple races on her now. So I'm happy that we have him on. The big key with her is the ground. You know, if the ground is the way it is today, you know, we're running. But if it gets a little soft, we'll probably come out. She likes the fast and firm ground, whereas the other fillies, European bred, she'll run either way.
Very good. And let's talk a little bit about the other one. The other one is Illegal Smile. Got the chart here. That one is going to run 2nd in the race we're looking at. This is going back to Churchill on June 12th. Going Good's going to be the winner in the number 6. Illegal Smile, the number 3, runs 2nd and comes in off of that effort. How do you feel she's coming into the race on Sunday afternoon?
Very, very well. She had a real good break. We kind of turned her out at the Lister's farm there, beautiful farm all winter long, gave her a really good break. So when she came in, she was kind of woolly, and we just kind of let her shed out naturally. And so her first race, she was, you know, you kind of looking around at all the other fillies coming up from Florida, and when they're shaved, and I let a woolly mammoth in there, you know. But really, she ran well. And now she's just beautiful. I tell you, she's just dappled all out, and she's had a couple races going into this, so she should run a big race.
Very good. So we'll look for a couple of those in the Coronation Cup tomorrow. And you talked about it. I have some other horses I want to talk about, but since you mentioned it, I'll just ask you to talk about a horse being dappled out. You know, over the years, as I've come up here and heard trainers talk, they all talk about, man, they love it. The horses love it up here in the mornings, the cool mornings, the water and whatnot. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, you know, you're up in the mountains. It's a more tranquil environment than, say, you know, down in the city at Belmont or Aqueduct. So, you know, when they get up here, it's just, you know, they feel more at home. And, you know, the horses tend to eat better up in, you know, when they're up. It's almost like they're at a farm.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to bring it up, Royal Ascot. You got your win this year on a DQ, and I have to ask your feelings as you watch the race and after the race. We're going to watch the stretch run here, and the really talented Campanelle is going to run 2nd by a smidge, but as we watch the stretch run, gets moved out and moved out and moved out. And I said, we were live because we were showing on our network those races, and we were live, and I said, you know, here, than over there. So when they made the decision, to me it was a little bit surprising, although I thought warranted. But as we watch the race here, and again, you'll see a Campanelle 1 second, but does get moved out through the stretch. What was your feeling as the race was being run and then as they were adjudicating?
You know, I mean, it wouldn't even have been a question here. They'd have come down, you know, within, you know, a minute after talking to both jocks, they would have just took her down the way that we went from one side of the course all the way to the other. But in Europe, it's a lot different. They try to leave the horses up, you know, as far as from a gambling standpoint, you know, and they try to judge it on which of the two races, of the two horses would have won, regardless of, and that's really what we were trying to decide. And ultimately, they decided that if that colt didn't take my filly all the way across the course there, and a big factor is that I made the lead just a jump or two right before we got there, even with the crowding and impeding, and I think that's what made him ultimately take that horse down. It was a I wasn't quite sure, you know, because we're, you know, I'm a visitor and that's the home team, but they made the right call.
And as I say, we show the Royal Ascot races on the network typically, and you know, as we lead into the week, we're always pointing out your horses because we always like to say, you know, the Americans, easy to root for them. Talk about your experience going over to Ascot, where you kind of changed the thinking of Americans, and as you've gone over and had success, you've been a trailblazer. Kind of reflect on what's happened over at Royal Ascot for you over the past few years.
Well, you know, it's just been it's been a life changer for me. You know, I mean, I kind of target these races, and I've, you know, got some very, very talented and fast horses that have gone over there for years and been successful. And so I'm, you know, getting more of those horses in my barn, which is also leading to others. So it's opened up a lot of doors for me. It's just a great experience, and there's a lot of other trainers now going over. You know, it was when I first went over, it was like, you know, if you're heading over, you know, across that pond, you're in trouble. But essentially, it's almost, you know, American horses travel all over the world and are successful. Yeah. You know, they go to Dubai, as you can see, and there's really no difference. It's just as easy to put a horse on a plane and go to England as it is to put on a horse on a plane and go to California. Yeah. It's also a lot shorter of a trip. From the time the horse leaves his stall at Keeneland and vans to Saratoga or Belmont, than it would be to put him on they leave the stall, they go to Indianapolis, and they got a direct flight to Stansted, which
incredible.
Is only a few, and you get a shorter trip going all the way to England.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I have to ask, do you now own the top hat and the tails, or you rent?
No, I bought the hat. I still rent the tails because get a little chubbier every year.
But for folks who don't know, most of the crowd is in the attire, right?
Most of the people. If you're going to get into the royal enclosure in the paddock and up into the certain box sections, and you know, and they, it's an outing every year for, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that go throughout the course of the week. So they everybody really enjoys it.
I mean, this meet is the highest quality meet certainly that I can think of this fashion, but those 5 days there, that's as high quality as it gets for 5 days.
Anyone that's a racing fan should really go to experience it, because, you know, you have just the highest quality of European racing, and the people are wonderful, and it's to get an experience to put the top hat and the tails on, and it's hard for me to put a suit on to go across there, but I really do enjoy it now, and getting around to talk to the different trainers and horse people, and even, you know, people that you're talking to. It's just a great experience. It's been a great experience for my children as well.
Yeah, and as I say, it's fun for us here because it's fun to go to the big game, the big meet over there, and root for Americans. And when you have the success that you've had, it's fun to watch those horses. Give us a little game plan on the super talented Campanella, the one we just saw there at Royal Ascot. What's going to be up next for that one?
Well, unfortunately, with this filly, she's she's really a terrific 6 to 7 furlong horse would be her distance. There's nothing for her here, you know. So it's 5.5 here, and nothing of any significant Group One races at this time of the year. So she's to go over and to be successful there twice, and she ships very well. So there's a race in France called the Maurice de Geest. It's a Group One. It's 6.5 furlongs. It's August 8th, and it fits right in on the timeline. And as I told you earlier about the traveling, it's easier to go to France because you just go right out of a Chicago, which she's in Keeneland now, and you ship right into France, and then she's there. And it is exactly what she did last year when she went over to win the Group One Prix Mornay as a 2-year-old. So she's doing very, very well. We're getting ready. She had a work last week on the dirt. Looking forward to working her a couple times on the grass. And then July 31st, she's on the plane to go run.
Very good. And just before we let you go, I'm asking everybody in here over the past, you know, as I talked on the phone down in the studio, and when I get people here, just talk a little bit about up here at Saratoga and last few weeks at Belmont and some of the other tracks over the past few months and whatnot, how it's been, what it's meant to the folks on the horse racing, the, you know, the backstretch side of the game and the trainers and whatnot to get the fans back in the stands.
It's fantastic, you know, to have, it's a little bit eerie here, you know, with no fans, and Royal Ascot, nobody there. We're so happy to have everybody back, and you know, they're betting with breaking records. Yeah. You know, they're betting with both hands now. And so it's fantastic.
Yeah. I've said it the past 2 days. Lots of smiles over there. People couldn't wait to get back. Well, Wes, we wish you a lot of good luck on the meet. And we are also going to, courtesy of Capital OTB, there's a Pinnell's gift card. Go over and grab some dinner on us. We appreciate your stopping by this afternoon. We wish you a lot of good luck on the remainder of the meet.
See, that's why I got. That's why I don't buy the suit, just the hat.
The lasagna. The lasagna. Wes, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Wesley Ward, again, some runners coming up today and certainly going forward, and always fun to watch over in Europe as well. We'll come back in a few. Brendan Walsh will join us. Stay tuned.
Promotional consideration for Racing Across America provided by Pinnell's Restaurant, a 99-year tradition of serving the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two arch rivals head-to-head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are joined now by Brendan Walsh. He has some runners today, and certainly we will talk also the big boy coming up in a couple of weeks. But Brendan, good morning.
Morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little horse racing here at Saratoga. And we'll start out the way I ended with Wes Ward. I've been asking everybody, what's it mean to the horsemen to get the fans back on track?
It's fantastic. It's really nice, you know. You forget this is a magical place, and you know we forgot it there for a couple of years, but it's so nice to be back and to have people back, and you know, everything seems like it's getting pretty much back to normal, which is great.
As close as we can get right now. I've said the last 2 days have just been a lot of fun, a lot of smiles on people's faces. Well, again, you have a couple in this afternoon, so let's get some thoughts on the Sanford. Wesley Ward has a runner, and I said to him, this is a salty edition of the Sanford this afternoon, but you have Candy Landing coming in off a pretty good-looking debut effort down at Churchill. Candy Landing here in the replay we're going to watch is going to be the number 9 horse. Debut effort, chart margin of over 4 lengths, 70. Your thoughts? I should know, did it at 17-1, so it was a nice little overlooked debut win, but did it in fine fashion. What was your feeling on this race and coming into this afternoon?
I thought he was very smart before we ran him. We did like him, Seth, but I don't believe we had a colt run up to that point. I think he might have been our first or second colt, or even 2-year-old for that matter, so we didn't really have a great line on it. But he was very professional on the day. He broke good, ran well. I thought he was nice, but I was pleasantly surprised by the way he did do it, because there was strong word for Steve Aspison's horse in the same race. But he did it, and I think there's plenty of improvement still to come from him, so it'll be interesting how today goes.
That was back on the 11th of June, and just curious, did you point for this right out of that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when you get a two-year-old win that early in the year, there isn't a ton of options. So, you know, but he seemed like he was fast enough that day to warrant coming here anyway, so we'll hopefully he'll prove that today.
Got a workout up here. How did that look coming into the race?
Good, yeah. That was our intention, was to give him his last work up here and let him get a feel of the track. So that all went well. Couldn't be happier with him going into it.
As they say, salty addition, but you've got a live runner coming out of a nice debut win. So certainly going to pay attention to Candy Landing this afternoon. Now we'll move on to the Diana. You have a runner in here as well. We're going to take a look at the Gamely out at Santa Anita on May 31st. The winner is going to be Maxim Rate, but running second, number one, La Signaire. And it's a pretty good second place finish out there. And coming in off of that effort, what are your feelings this afternoon in the Diana for La Signaire?
Listen, she's done nothing wrong, Seth. You know, she's been second her last, well, she was second at grade one her last start, third in the grade one her start before that. Looks like it sets up good for today. She's one of these fillies, you know, we take a shot with her, and if things fell into place, I'm sure she's capable of at least getting a piece of it. If not, you know, we might get lucky and get a little more.
Yeah, put a nice little grade one placing on the resume up at Saratoga. That'd be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So La Signaire in there. And as I said, also wanted to take a look at the big boy and talk a little bit about Maxfield. We're going to take a look at the Stephen Foster. Maxfield went off as a 2-5 favorite that day and won like it. Going to be the 8 horse in here. Coming off of the win in the Ali Sheba, and then two back was third in the Santa Anita for the only blemish on the record. But again, the Ali Sheba and this Stephen Foster put Maxfield back on track, and I see that he had worked yesterday here. So talk a little bit about this performance, which, as I say, lived up to the short price. So looked good there. How'd he come out of it? How's he coming into the Whitney down the road?
Came out of it great, Seth. You know, he seems like he keeps progressing. You know, very impressed with him the last day. You know, got up here in good shape, worked yesterday. That was our plan. Try and get 3 works into him up here before the Whitney, and you know, everything is so far so good. He looks great, so we're in pretty good shape.
As I say, 8 career starts, 7 wins, and a third-place finish. The Santa Anita Handicap, he ran third. What was your, you know, takeaway from that race?
He went into the gate. He was even money, so it wasn't as though it wasn't the right spot for him. But, you know, he came back off of short rest, shipped all the way out there, strange track, 1.25 first time. You know, he had a lot of stuff up against him, but I think for a horse like him, if he's going to be competitive as the year goes on against these seasoned horses, we've always lacked a little seasoning with him because obviously he's had his injuries and what have you. So I think it was good to put his neck on the block, as it were, and have to face adversity. And I think it actually, his 2 runs since have proven it might have been the best thing that ever happened to the horse, that he had to go out. He seems like a more mature horse since. You know, I think it really, really did bring him along and helped him mature a lot.
Yeah, it certainly rebounded very nicely in the 2 wins, 2 stakes wins down at Churchill, subsequent to the Santa Anita Handicap. 8 wins, 8 starts, 7 wins, $1.25 million in the bank. Clearly plenty of talent, and I'm just curious, with a horse like this, did you know from the get-go that you had something special?
We thought he was pretty good, yeah. I mean, he, you know, it just shows how good he was, Seth. He was a big frame of a horse as a 2-year-old, always worked really, really nice, never a blemish in his work. But did we expect him to win a grade one as a 2-year-old? Not really, not before he broke his maiden, we didn't. But I think it just shows how good a horse he was, the fact that he accomplished that without being that physically there. But we always thought he'd make a nicer horse, you know, 3 and 4. And, you know, he had his injuries and that, but at least there was always something that we could fix. And you know, I think it's all starting to fall into place now.
And it's got to feel good coming into a grade one up at Saratoga with a horse with that kind of
Absolutely,
talent.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have a live one coming up here, you know.
One other horse I wanted to talk about from just recently, Indiana Oaks from just a week or so ago, July 7th. Soothsay is going to be the winner of number two horse here. And at 40-1, number 10, Moonswag runs second. This is a pretty nice performance again at that price. Talk a little bit about Moonswag and what's coming up for her potentially.
Yeah, she ran a great race in Indiana. I thought she was very unlucky. I mean, you know, Soothsay, to be fair, she missed the break and she was probably the best filly in the race anyway, but her filly ran really well. You
just
know, she
got nipped.
Yeah, she keeps progressing, and you know, we'll have a look at, you know, there's a couple more of the 3-year-old fillies races to come. I think there's one at Charlestown going 7/8. There's another one as well, escapes me right now, that we have in mind, maybe the Monmouth Oaks as well. But Charlestown is probably more likely, you know. But yeah, no, she's been knocking on the door all year. Yeah. She never lets us down. That was a good, you know, she was just very unlucky. It was a good opportunity to win a graded stake with her.
Just like,
I'm sure she'll get one at some stage.
Not talented, certainly. Been asking some of our folks when they come here if you've had, because we had the refurbishment across the street on the Oklahoma, you worked on any horses over there and have any impressions?
Yeah, we worked Maxfield on it yesterday, actually, Seth, and it was good. It's nice. It's wider. It looks it looked real good this morning. And, yeah, I mean, it looks like a, you know, it's always been a very nice track and always been nice to have. I'm over on that side this year, so, you know, no complaints from me at all. Seems like it's very nice.
Seems like that's the consensus. Mm-hmm. They did a nice job.
I think so, yeah.
For folks don't know, I said it a couple times already this week, but for folks who maybe are only tuning in on the weekend, they widened it. It was a pretty major project that went on, started right after the meet last year and ended maybe a month and a half or so ago. So, as I said, the consensus seems to be that they did a good job over there. Always like when I get people in, we've had you before, so some of the folks may know it, but, you know, we get a lot of new fans up here at Saratoga and like to kind of introduce them to folks so they know a little more about the folks they're rooting for and maybe make it a little easier to root. So talk a little bit about how you got into the game.
Well, I'm from Ireland originally, Seth.
You're kidding.
Yeah. you know, so I grew up on a farm. We didn't actually have any horses, but I bugged my dad into buying me a pony when I was a kid. And, you know, I've always loved horses. I don't know where that came from, but I've always been, you know, horse mad. And he bought me a pony, and I went to jockey school in Ireland and just progressed from there, you know, traveled the world with these magnificent animals. You know, been very lucky the whole way up and, you know, decided to have a go at training maybe, you know, 15, you know, more years ago. Started doing some work as assistants to various people, and I think this is my 10th year now actually as a trainer. So you know, it's been going good, it's been progressing nicely, and we've had our best year yet this year so far. So,
and your main base most of the year,
mainly out of Kentucky,
right?
Yeah, Churchill and Keeneland and that, but winter time we've been going to Florida since I started, and this is our fourth winter now we've been going to the fairgrounds in New Orleans. So,
you know, talk a little bit about bouncing around many tracks and, you know, having started in Europe as well. Just relate Saratoga and how that fits into the pantheon of racetracks around the world.
I mean, when before I ever came to this country, you always heard about Saratoga. I mean, it's just such high quality racing, and it's a great festival for, you know, the 6 or 7 weeks or whatever it is that it's on. And, you know, it's a hard place to come and win, but it's, you know, we had a very good filly a couple of years ago called Proctor's Ledge, won a couple of 3-year-old filly stakes up here that year, and, you know, it just gives you the appetite to want to come back and win more. It's the place to be this time of year in this country. So, you know, like I said, it's tough, but if you've got the stock, and, you know, we're lucky enough this year, hopefully we have some that are capable of winning a few up here, hopefully. Listen, like I said earlier, it's a magical place.
Yeah, and hopefully it's a magical meet for you as well. You have some coming up today, but also we're looking, as they say, for the big boy Maxfield on Whitney Day. And coming into it obviously in very good form. Brendan, we appreciate your stopping by. And as a show of appreciation, we have a gift card to Jacob Nanthi's downtown. Perfect. For dinner. So enjoy that and enjoy the rest of the meet as well. We appreciate your visit.
Not at all. My pleasure.
Very good. Brendan Walsh, again, runners today in Maxfield coming up a little bit later on. We'll head to a break. When we come back, Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association. We'll get a little kickoff from the NYRA side of things right after this.
Promotional consideration for Racing Across America provided by Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, featuring classic American recipes from the past with a modern presentation. Jacob and Anthony's American Grill, 38 High Rock Avenue, Saratoga.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTV TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTV live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTV TV. OTV TV on Roku. Try it now.
I'm Seth Merrill, and as Serious Horse Players, we know that information is critical when placing a bet. With live streaming of more than 30 tracks, race replays, free past performances, and daily picks from professional handicappers, no one gives you more up-to-the-minute information than Capital OTV. Combine that with the best player awards in New York State, and you have everything a Serious Horse Player needs to be successful.
Win more with Capital OTV.
Winning starts here.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, it is the Senior Director of Communications from the New York Racing Association, Pat McKenna. Pat, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy to have you back on board, because when you're back on board sitting next to me, that means Saratoga is open. And just talk a little bit about how fun it is for you guys to get back up here, because I say every year, probably more work than you squeeze into 40 days during the rest of the year, but I'm sure it has to be fun as well in front of these big crowds.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a sprint for us from about April 1st through Labor Day, that week that we have in between Saratoga and Belmont, which we did for the first time last year, partly due to COVID, and we'll do again this year, is a good thing for everyone, kind of for the whole racing community to have a little bit of a breather after Saratoga. But that's then, this is now, and we're thrilled to be back.
I was talking to people locally who couldn't wait for Saratoga. In the last 3 weeks, they bounced down to Belmont a little bit, and watching on the simulcast signal, seeing some shots of the paddock and whatnot, it looked like Belmont, with some fans getting back in, folks were excited to get back to Belmont as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Belmont Stakes Day was a really great day of racing. Obviously, the Belmont Stakes itself was pretty phenomenal. You can feel the momentum building up as we were allowed to bring fans back in on May 1st. It turned out to be Kentucky Derby Day, and it just kind of built to a nice crescendo on Belmont Stakes Day, and here we are, big crowds, even bigger
handle, which is great. And we'll get after it today at about 1 o'clock. So
kicking off again for the first Saturday at the meet. So we'll certainly be looking forward to, again, a couple of nice stakes races and whatnot. And you and I were talking before we went on. That also means some Fox coverage today, which, again, I will compliment you and the whole team. I think clearly it benefits NYRA, but the Fox coverage, I think, just benefits the sport in general.
Absolutely, yeah. Today, for the first time in history, Fox broadcasts. So, you know, Channel 5, Downstate, whatever it is up here, Big Fox will carry a one-hour special, opening weekend special, headlined by the Grade 1 Diana. So the Travers is on Fox through 2030. The fact that they're committing to an hour on a Saturday afternoon showing Saratoga just demonstrates their commitment to the sport, the quality, the excellence of Saratoga, and they're all in. It's fantastic. You know, credit to Dave O'Rourke, obviously, and Tony Alavado for building that relationship, which began in 2016, just 80 hours in total. Will do some astronomical number of hours this year. It's more than 220 just of Saratoga, and then they pick up back up in the fall with Belmont and in the spring with Belmont as well. So that's a really good thing, and it's more national coverage of high quality horse racing than ever in the past. So you're right, it's great for the sport.
Yeah, as I say, it doesn't just benefit you guys, it really does benefit the entire sport, because it spreads the word to racing fans in general. So you guys do a great job with that. I want to tip my cap to you there. Again, you and I were talking before we went on the air, and whenever I have you on, we always talk about it. Gives you a chance to maybe tip your cap to the folks in the press office, because you guys do a great job. Again, as I say, this 40 days, you guys are really hustling. Opening day, all the local TV stations are here and the local media. You guys are servicing them. But it's not just opening day or the big days. You guys are out doing the notes and on the back stretch, and if you check the website or the local newspapers for the press releases, you guys are really doing a lot of great work just to pump up and the Saratoga meet and keep people informed day in and day out of what's going on.
That's right. The guys are, they do, I mean, they're out early covering workouts. They're doing it all. So we got Keith McCalmont, Brian Bull, Ryan Martin, and then Vanessa Rodriguez, who handles all the community affairs. It's a tremendous amount of high quality writing, reporting. Check out the website, go to NYHRA.com and see what we're doing each and every day here at the spa.
Yeah, the news in the notes section that keeps you informed. It's preview and review. There's a lot of looks at what's upcoming, but also a lot of recaps of stakes action as well, and some of the major races. And this meet is not just stakes races. The two-year-old races are all important. They lead in to stakes action. Again, reflect a little bit on what it means to you in the press office when there's a big crowd like this on track every day.
Yeah, it doesn't actually change our job too much. Last summer, for example, was just as busy as this summer, but it means the world to have fans back to see this track the way it should be. Packed, the grandstands are packed, and to see the apron during a close finish. But yeah, it's a completely different dynamic. Last year was, the word of last summer was just sort of bizarre. The fact that this track has stood the test of time since 1863, and that was the very first time that we had to conduct a race meet without fans, just shows you how unprecedented the last 18 or so months is. There was a time when we were optimistic last summer that we would have fans, but it's great to see. I mean, the smiles you saw on opening day, friends, obviously families getting together here yet again, it's humbling, and we're just stewards of this historic and important treasure here in upstate New York. So that's our job, not screw it up, right?
And speaking of that, that's a perfect lead, and I'll let you tout a little bit because it should be touted. When I had you on by phone down in the studio before the meet, we talked a little bit about the new facilities that are here, and I got a chance, I just read about the verandas at the top of the stretch, and we may have some shots of that as well, because I took some pictures yesterday, and that's a nice area at the top of the stretch, a new kind of, it's slightly upgraded, and I think, and this is the stretch that's at the end of the grandstand. The top of the stretch verandas are literally at the top of the stretch, but the stretch that we're looking at here, that area, which is, two or three years old now, that's expanded. And the area that I think is going to be a lot of fun on the first turn, the tailgaters at the turn area where people can kind of pull up their cars, and there's picnic tables over there right on the first turn. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. That's the verandas right there. So really three new facilities. And again, moving the Saratoga facility into the 21st century, but clearly maintaining the historical charm of the facility.
That's the goal. And these pictures do it justice. It's a complete reimagining of that entire end, that end of the grandstand. Began with the redevelopment of the stretch, which was an underutilized. That area was really only used on Travers and maybe Whitney Day. Yeah. It was pretty quiet down there. So it was a reimagining of that entire area. So the stretch continues to expand. And then that new spa veranda, those covered spaces are important because it gets pretty hot on that tarmac. And that's a big upgrade, and it's perfect for sort of 30 to maybe 40, which was a size group that we didn't have great accommodations for in the past. So maybe a special event, a birthday party, graduate, you know, anything and everything. But we'll be interested to see how fans utilize it and appreciate it. We think it's a good new area.
Yeah, it definitely, when I walked down there the other day, there was some groups in there. They were enjoying themselves. The stretch, as I say, a couple of years old now, but that has become very popular, and the expansion, I'm sure, will just benefit that, and the tailgaters on the turn, I think, is going to be a lot of fun as well. Rest of the facility, things are pretty much, you know, picnic tables in the backyard and the benches on the apron and whatnot, pretty much what we've seen year in and year out as far as the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. It felt to us like people were and are yearning for a return to the familiar in a lot of ways. That's what, you know, so that's what this facility is so well suited for right now. We want people to feel when they step through those gates as if the last year didn't happen, and here we are back at the spa in the same way that we've always been able to enjoy it, with a free-flowing open backyard, the ability to bring in your own food and beverage back there, and then all of these new kind of differentiated hospitality areas. We're hoping that these are additions. We're never trying to take things away, except for, I'll mention, that paddock tent, which was often an impediment to the public's ability to see and experience horses in the paddock. So that was something that Dave O'Rourke committed to. We pulled it out last year, and it won't go back. So there are some new picnic tables in there. Perhaps a small thing, but significant, because we want people to be able to enjoy the paddock. It's one of the best ways, especially for young people who may be experiencing the track for the first time, to see horses up close and personal, to see that relationship between trainers and owners and jockeys, and ultimately the horse is a great way to develop new fans.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That's prime real estate there, and to get the new fans there, looking at the horses in the paddock, that was a great move. The tent probably served its purpose and its time, but there are other options for those people.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, again, that was a great move as well. But, Pat, we'll let you go get back to work, because it is a busy time. But I wanted to get in to kind of kick the meat off. We'll have Dave O'Rourke in tomorrow to give a little perspective from the top of the chain.
That's
at
right.
NYRA. Looking forward to that as well. But I appreciate your visit this morning.
Thanks a lot, Seth.
Appreciate it. Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association. We'll take another break. Be back in a few to wrap it up. Stay tuned. Thanks, Pat.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America as we wrap up our first Saturday broadcast from Saratoga 2021. It's fun. It's been fun. Thanks to Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association. Thanks to Brendan Walsh. Thanks to Wesley Ward for kicking off our Saturday coverage. Really appreciated their taking the time to get in a visit, and rooting for them today and going forward at the meet as well. Let me hit you with some of the promos that are coming up via Capital OTB. Today, the Saratoga Syndicate's running. I'm virtually certain the Syndicate is sold out for this week. But just a reminder, for a $50 fee, you get in on a $1,500 pick play. So for a really modest amount of money, you can have a lot of fun and get in a big ticket, a big pick ticket at Saratoga. And it'll happen every Saturday during the meet. Check out the website starting on Sundays. That's when the sign-ups start, and it is first come, first serve. Today also, there's a $100 pick three play. I will have $100 to play pick three action on behalf of patrons. I haven't yet looked because I was kind of waiting to get some scratches and whatnot, so the pick three plays will be coming up, but I'm assuming you probably still have time to put your name in the hat and potentially get on the bankroll team for the pick three today. Today also, a $100 play the board contest down at the Clubhouse Racebook. Sunday, it's going to be a show pool promotion. Sunday, the pick four and the match bet down at the Clubhouse Racebook. So a lot of great action coming up over the next couple of days. Just some of really a meat-long group of fabulous promotions that you will want to keep aware of. Somebody asked me about the low roller up here. People have asked me about that. And the low roller is back this year. That'll kick off tomorrow up here if you're interested in that on the trackside side of things. So keep that in mind tomorrow, low roller. And then I think it's every Thursday and Sunday up here if you're a low roller player. So keep that in mind. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., the Handicappers Report, as usual, but 10 a.m., it's Loose on the Lead. Steve Bick and I kick off the Loose on the Lead season tomorrow. Steve, of course, down at Monmouth this afternoon for the Haskell. Don't forget, it is Haskell Day, so you can take a look at that card as well. Lots of great stakes action down in New Jersey to play along with also, so keep that in mind. Steve coming back this evening, and he'll be here for 12, noontime? Yeah, noontime, I'll be told in my ear, noontime post time at Monmouth today, so keep that in mind as well. But tomorrow, Steve will be sitting right next to me to kick off Loose on the Lead. I know a lot of people on the front side have asked, oh, where's Steve? When's he going? Tomorrow, he'll be in. Otherwise, we're going to wrap things up, but we're going to, on the way out, play a little tape. Brian Dorenzo, our camera guy, and myself went out on opening day, just bounced around the crowd, got some reaction from people who are clearly very happy to be back at Saratoga. So here we are, just a few minutes from some folks out on the backyard and around the facility. Opening day at Saratoga, going back to, if I said Wednesday, opening day was Thursday. So going back to Thursday, the crowd on opening day will take us to the top of the hour and wrapping things up here on Racing Across America for a Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the racing this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
For the start of the 2021 Saratoga meet. Get ready, everybody. They're about to break. And they're off at Saratoga.
I think I'm reaction to opening day 2021, the return of fans, and playing before a full house again for the first time?
Well, I've been playing at racetracks for 30 years, and they all have the same thing. Thoroughbreds, in this case, the best jockeys in the world. But the difference is the people. These are vibrant, lovely people, and I couldn't adore them more than I do. And I was just playing. I have this friend for many years, and John's a singer, the gentleman who was just here singing. A couple of times here he comes, and we just randomly pick something to play for, usually a show tune. But I always wanted to get a good one on Kelly, so that was from West Side Story. And she and Dave come many weekends every summer, and that's the reason I love Saratoga. It's because of these people. They're just fabulous, vibrant people.
All right, I know this guy's a regular, but nobody was a regular last year. Talk about opening day and how fun it is to be back here.
Hey, it's opening day is always Christmas day for everybody, but now you feel like you're spending Christmas, you know, with 25 to 30,000 of your closest friends. So I'm just glad, you know, Christmas day, sometimes you get snow, and we've been getting a lot of summer snow recently, but it's a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky. There's not a better place on earth to be for 40 days, and you have to be here on opening day and enjoy this, especially after what we've been through.
Talk about being here opening day.
I just think it's great to feel some sense of normalcy and see people that we haven't seen for a couple of years, and just get back to such a special place and connect with so many people that just love to be here and love the game.
Kentucky football, which is
four. I have like a little bit of
Tell us a little bit about it. You said before we set up and got ready here, we've been coming to the track together opening day for a long time. Last year was a little bit different. What's it like 2021?
It's awesome. There's people are here. The energy is so great right now, and it's been great to see one of my best friends on opening day. Just continue the tradition. Hope everyone comes out with the tradition.
Talk a little bit about
it's
that.
It's just amazing. I mean, just seeing the changes, all the local people. Gorgeous day. I mean, just the people you know, it's just wonderful. We feel so blessed to be here.
An awesome horse race.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.